So we quoted the Medrash Rabba from Behal Oscha, and now we continue with what Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik wrote on it. He says, "Lichora pele." At first glance, it seems wondrous. Moshe lomed v'shocheach umitkashe. Moshe learns, forgets, finds things difficult. V'chozer lahar, goes back up the mountain. Umarin lo, they show him a second time. V'adainu mitkashe, and he still finds it difficult. Uminayin zo ashikecha shebekan. Rav Soloveitchik says, why is it? Why over here does Moshe suddenly forget? Uminayin akshem batfisa ubebitzua. Why is it that Moshe in this area suddenly has difficulty in grasping and in actually fulfilling? Before I read Rav Soloveitchik's answer, I feel in order to preclude misunderstanding his answer, we need to introduce a few concepts. We know that different people have different responsibilities in this world. And at different times in our life, we have different responsibilities in this world. You guys probably know the story about the kid in the dam. He saw the hole, stuck his finger in, and he kept the whole city afloat. Excuse the pun, right? He kept the whole city, right? You guys know the story? No. If the water would have come trickling through the dam, where is this? In Amsterdam? Where's the story? I don't know if it's a true story. There's a story of a kid who saw a hole in the dam. And the way a hole in the dam works is once the water starts trickling in, if it keeps coming, it ultimately breaks down the dam and then the whole city could drown. So he saw this hole and he stuck his finger in the hole. And he stood there and called people until they were able to come and fix it. He kept his finger in the hole. And that saved the whole city. So sometimes, so that kid's job at that time was to have his finger in that hole. And he did it. So there are times, there are intervals in our lives where we have specific missions. We have to know that certain missions are everyone's mission. Every person has to keep 613 mitzvot. Any normal person, I'm saying, you have people who are retarded, you have people who are limited in their capacity, but I'm saying the average person has a responsibility to learn Torah and keep 613 mitzvot. What Rav Soloveitchik is about to discuss has to be understood in that realm. Just as every person is expected to breathe and every person is expected to function, every regular person is expected to find a way to make a livelihood and take care of himself and his family, every regular person is also expected to learn Torah to the best of his ability and keep the mitzvot. Now let's continue with that basis. He's not talking about whether you should be observant or not, what he's about to discuss. Efshar sheken yesh lavin. It's possible, says Rav Soloveitchik, that we have to understand the Medrash as follows. Mitzvah zo, this specific mitzvah, asiyat ha-menorah, to build the menorah, no'ada le-Betzalel. This mitzvah was Betzalel's mitzvah. Moshe was the conduit. He has to explain to Betzalel what he's supposed to do, but his mitzvah is not to build the menorah. Ve'lachen lo ayu etzlo kol ha-kshayim. And that's why when it comes to Bezalel, smooth sailing. Guys, you will see this in life. There will be some things that are the right move, and you have every hardship under the sun. A person tries to make aliyah, most often they will find 500 stumbling blocks. The office is closed the day he shows up. He shows up with the form. They tell him, go to the other office. He goes to the other office. They say, you can't come here with the form from the first office. He goes back to the first office. They say, what'd you come back for? We told you to go to the second office. Right? He stands there and says, but the second office told me that you guys have to give me a form. And they say, but we told you got to go there. And he says, yeah, but they won't see me till you give me the form. And they say, no. They're wrong. Go back. Now you're stuck. Who are you going to listen to? You're going to go back there. They're going to yell at you. You stay over here. They're yelling at you. Right? Right. So there are mitzvot that you try to do and you meet tremendous hardships. God willing, you'll all get married. And if things go normally, you'll encounter tremendous hardships. Doesn't go easy. Real life is tough. It's beautiful, but it's tough. There are tremendous mitzvot which involve tremendous hardships. Learning Torah is not easy. But then there are mitzvot where you're in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, and it's such smooth sailing, it's like God's taking you by the hand and taking you along the road. And you'll see it. I'm telling you, you will see it in your own lives. There will be things which you just feel like, hey, okay, it's not necessarily what I want to do, but it's what I know I should be doing, and suddenly it's working out in a million different ways. That's what's happening with Bezalel and Moshe. There are times when mitzvot have that godly intervention that if you're going to do it and that's your task in this world, it's going to flow. Let's take Esther. Esther's job is to go to Ahasuerus. Esther's on her way to Ahasuerus. The Talmud says she became Yerakrokes. Literally means green. What it really means is she lost all color. Now, in those days, a woman was considered beautiful when she was red. Women would smack themselves up in the face, put on a noose around their neck made of gold, but something that would really tighten themselves up over here so that their faces would seem red and robust. Esther was skinny, scrawny. In those days, a woman was considered beautiful when she was corpulent. And now she walks into Ahasuerus uninvited. And Ahasuerus sees her and he's about to say off with her head. And he extends his scepter, about to yell out to his servants, what kind of woman is this walking in here uninvited? And God makes him have a change of heart. And suddenly he says, it's so good to see you. What do you want? What can I do for you? And the scepter, which he meant to indicate should kill her, suddenly ends up giving the opposite indication to tell the guards, don't touch her. And time and again, things just work out exactly right. She's there talking to Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus gets all upset at Haman. He walks out to his garden, unclear, what should I do? My queen is telling me my top advisor has turned against me. And he walks into his garden only to see his favorite trees being cut down. He asks the people, what you guys doing? And they say, oh, Haman sent us here. He says, Haman sent you to my house to cut down my trees? He walks back into the banquet, and Haman just then trips onto Esther's bed. And Ahasuerus looks at him and says, you want to do that while I'm still around? I understand you want to bump me off, but you're climbing on my wife's bed when I'm still here? And with that, he has Haman hung. So Esther is doing things that seem very difficult. She's risking her life. She's destroying her life. She's going into Ahasuerus, and she knows there's no turning back now. We're going to learn later next month that by walking into Ahasuerus, she lost her earlier marriage with Mordechai. Halachically, with that move, she relinquished her rights to re-enter her previous marriage. So she's destroying her personal life, but she sees the mission. This is what I got to do. So she walks forward. And as she walks forward, suddenly everything starts working out right. If she were looking at herself and not her responsibility in life, then this was the worst move in her life. But if she's looking at her responsibility, then now is when she is actually living life. She's living up to her responsibility. There are two approaches a person can have. And at pivotal moments in our life, we're faced with that challenge. Am I going to be focused on what I want? Am I going to be focused on my responsibility, on my potential, on my living life? And that's why Bezalel, whose responsibility was to build the menorah, lo shachach velo nitkasha, didn't forget anything, didn't find difficulties. Ach kivan shemitzvah lezor lo nod'a lemoshe, lo nod'a lemoshe lachin hera lo mashera, al kol hamatmiya shebadavar. The reason this happens to Moshe is because really it wasn't his mitzvah. Lebal ha'yehud nitan hakol min ha'shamayim l'shem hatzachat yehudo. When a person has a specific mission, he's given what it takes to get the mission done. If he merits to it. And we said, sometimes it happens, sometimes the exact opposite happens. And then a person can overcome hardships that even greater people can't overcome them. you'll see this in life, that people will sometimes show bravery, courage, fortitude that seems to be so much greater than who they seem to be. And sometimes people who are much greater don't seem like they can show greatness in this area. You look at someone else and you say, he's amazing. And then you look at this person who seems so simple, and yet in his area of life, he's amazing. Let me tell you a story, and I'll quote it from the text. You guys hear of Yoni Netanyahu? Okay, so Yoni Netanyahu was a general in the Israeli army when an Israeli plane was captured, hijacked, and taken to Uganda. And then they camped in a place called Entebbe, and they released all passengers except for the Jews. The pilot stayed with the Jews, even though he wasn't Jewish, and they let him leave. And Idi Amin, he wasn't all there. Gaddafi. These people were really, they were out to get us in many ways. And it wasn't clear what was going to happen. And there was a very brave effort, and our soldiers flew in under the guise of being, I think it was the general's plane. They came in with Ugandan flags on the plane. They landed at the airport as though they were part of the Ugandan army, and then they came and took down the Ugandan army that was there, rescued the hostages, and there were the main casualty was the chief general who led it, whose name was Yonatan Netanyahu, the brother of Bibi Netanyahu. Now, what not everyone knows is that 3 days before he was given this mission, Yonatan Netanyahu wrote a letter to his family in which he explained that he is resigning from the army. And I'll quote you a piece from his letter. He wrote as follows: Ha'adam eino chai l'olam. Man does not live forever. Ve'alav lenatzel b'midat yecholto tkufat chayav. And as best as he can, he must take advantage of that period that we call life. Alav lishtadel lematzot otam ad tumam. He has to try and take full advantage of them to the best of his ability. This is a man who did not wear a yarmulke. How does one take advantage of his life? I can't tell you. If I had clarity in that, then half of life's riddle would have been resolved. What I only know, I do not want to reach a certain age to look around me and to suddenly discover that I haven't created anything, that I'm like everyone else, that's just running, like vermin, back and forth, when in fact they do absolutely nothing. They spend life running back and forth, but accomplishing nothing. They repeat the habit of life, and then they end up in the grave, leaving behind children that will only repeat that pointless endeavor of life that they themselves had. That I do not want. That's a part of his letter. They were on the plane on their way to the airfield in Entebbe. And they did not yet have authorization for the mission. It was being discussed in the Knesset. And he went. There are two phenomenal stories. As they were on the way to the plane, he told the driver, stop. He got out of the car and looked at the Israeli flag and saluted. And he said to the driver, he said, once in my life, I have to salute for what this state stands for. He said, every Jew should stop once in their life and salute to that flag. And that was his one time. And he never did it before. On his way, he didn't know he wasn't going to come back alive. And on the plane, he went to every fighter on the plane. They had no idea if they would be successful or not. Today we look back and say, wow. And I want to quote to you what he said. In his final letter, he told his family 3 days before the mission, before he was given this mission, that he's going to resign. And he felt he had no more emotional or physical strength to stand up to what the army challenges entailed. And when they're on their way to Sharm el-Sheikh, he went and saluted the flag. And as they're about to land in Entebbe, he goes to each and every warrior. And he said to them, we have to be victorious in this battle for two reasons. One is, we represent the honor of Israel. Think of what happens if we win. Think of what happens if we lose this. And it's true. This became something, you know, the United States tried to recreate this and was a major flop. He said, the honor of Israel is at stake. We represent the whole people of Israel here. And secondly, we are fighting a war of righteousness against evil. And it cannot be that we will not win. He gave this speech to every fighter individually. Okay, the rest are details that are not so critical. So coming back to Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik says, if a person looks at his mission, doesn't think about himself, thinks about what his task is, so then if he merits, he can have such excellence, such success, and he can overcome things that even greater people couldn't overcome, because this is his task. In life, we sometimes have to look and say, okay, this is where my mission lies. Al yomar adam, a person may not say, davar shenit kashabo oto gadol ketzad uchal ani lamod bo. If someone bigger than me couldn't do this, how am I going to do it? Says Rav Soloveitchik, it doesn't work that way. Lakach yomar. What a person has to say is, im alai utla shlichut, if I was given this mission, harei shuchal lamod ba velatzeach hatzlacham le'a, then obviously I can be very successful at it. Because Bezalel could succeed where Moshe couldn't. So Rav Soloveitchik says we have to learn from Bezalel. And in life, sometimes we have tasks. I can tell you, one time in my life, I had to help. I had family members that were in distress. And I went to help. I was working so hard that for a month straight, I never got to bed. I'd fall asleep in my clothing as I was working. Meaning I reached a point where I couldn't anymore. And I'd just sit down, sleep, until I could continue working. And you look back and you say, where did I have strength for that? Sometimes in life, you got to look at the mission and say, okay, if this is where I'm at, and this is what I have to do, then it's not a question of how can I do it. It's a question of, if this is my mission, then it's going to have to get done. And then from above, you get that extra help. Like Bezalel, where Moshe couldn't get it. That means it's not a question of intellect. Moshe was very smart. He couldn't get it. But if this is your mission in life, don't look at what other people couldn't do, because you could do it. That, says Rav Soloveitchik, is the message of the story. That when you have a mission, don't let it knock you down, the fact that other people couldn't. There are many stories that support this idea, but it's an idea we should take with us, because in life, we all have those moments. That's one of the ideas we have to take from Megillas Esther. That there are pivotal moments in life, and at those moments, we have to know to stand up to the test. And I'll tell you one more thing that's very helpful. One concluding remark. I was accompanying a couple that had a child that they knew would not live. They knew the child would die within that day or two after being born. And after the child was born, so the child lived. But it was clear he would die within a matter of hours or days after being born. It was an arduous journey. And at 10 o'clock at night, so the parents were ready to go to sleep. And I wasn't sure, is there any point in staying up sitting next to the baby? You know, it's very obvious where it's going to end. So I called the Rav of the hospital. And I said to him, look, I feel that the staff over here might not really take care of the baby because they all know he's going to die. I don't think we're allowed to let the baby die an hour earlier. We have to feed the baby. We have to take care of the baby. Whenever God will it that the baby dies, he'll die. Do you feel we can trust the staff to take care of that baby? Can I sleep tonight? Or not? Because I feel not, but I'm not sure. So I will forever be indebted to the Rav of the hospital who told me, no. I'm very sorry. You have to ensure that they feed the baby. And he was right. And every 2 hours on the clock, I was there to make sure that the baby got what he needed. He died the next afternoon. But sometimes in life, you stand at that juncture and you need someone to tell you. You need that little push to go over. Because I was also after an arduous journey. I also wanted to go to sleep. And I asked myself, what's the point? The staff promised me they'll feed. Hospital protocol is they have to feed. But who's going to know if they don't? So you tell yourself, what difference does it make? You know, and then you tell yourself, but it does make a difference. Then you say, well, why should I worry about it? So Esther was standing at the juncture, and Esther also wasn't sure if she should cross the threshold. She knew what she loses. She wasn't sure what she gains. Along comes Mordechai and says, no, you better do it. So I'm just saying, you guys will find yourselves at moments in your life where you have an important mission. And sometimes you won't be certain whether you should, whether you could. Don't be scared to turn to someone who will give you an honest and correct answer, and sometimes give you that little nudge that'll help you go over and do what's right.